when I was writing about the record, I said that it was like going, it was like going into a dark cave. Suddenly the light goes on and you see this like moving, vibrant roof of bats, and they're begging for the darkness back, but they're also really alive in the light. And I think that that's what this record does for me. Like, it makes me uncomfortable, it challenges me, but there's also something incredibly soothing about seeing my own discomfort reflected back at me.
Welcome to the first ever edition of the Polaris podcast. I'm your host, Lana Gay, and I'll be guiding you while we explore all the wonderful, weird, and worthy music that makes up the Polaris Music Prize universe. So if you don't know what the Polaris Music Prize is, here's a quick overview. Starting in 2006, Polaris is an annual music prize that goes to the best Canadian album of the year, judged solely based on artistic merit without regard to musical genre or commercial popularity. Now let's remember, this is an album prize, full album, first song to last. Some past winners include Carquois' record Les Chemins de Verre, Arcade Fire's The Suburbs, and most recently Buffy St. Marie for Power in the Blood. Here's how it works. A jury made up of 200 or so music journalists, bloggers, producers, and other media personalities spend the whole year listening to and talking about Canadian albums. They vote on all these records, first creating a 40-album long list, then a 10-album short list. And once they have all that, a select group of jurors determine the winner each September at the Polaris Gala, aka a big party, where the winner now also gets a $50,000 check. The 2016 Polaris Gala is taking place Monday, September 19th at the Carlew in Toronto. So we thought the best way to launch the new Polaris podcast would be to give you a primer and ask some of the jurors who voted for these records to tell you why they should win the prize and more time in your headphones. Hamilton electronic artist Jessie Lanza is no stranger to the Polaris Music Prize. Her first record, Pull My Hair Back, was on the 2014 shortlist, and here she is again with her second album, Oh No. It's a sophisticated, groove-filled record. And here to explain why he thinks it should win the 2016 Polaris Music Prize is Hamiltonian and 93.3 CFMU program director Jamie Tennant.
I have been a fan of Jessie since she started, which isn't really all that long ago. She's only got two albums, of course, but there's just something about this album that I like. The strange dichotomies that are all over this record. The fact that it's a dance record, yet it's really, really minimalist. The fact that she references really popular 90s R&B, but also weird, obscure Japanese electronica from the late 70s. The album is just full of that kind of push and pull, and I think it's really fascinating. There's a couple of real dance tracks on this record. It's got a bit more of a pop feeling, and again, the dichotomy. It's also a little bit weirder at the same time. I think that's what critics are responding to, is the fact that she's referencing familiar things in different, unfamiliar ways. Probably one of the upbeat songs, I would say, maybe Oh No or Never Enough. Those are fairly straightforward. There's a house influence in them, a poppy melody, really great production on, well, on the whole record, but especially on those songs in terms of them being upbeat dance tracks. I think if you want to go deeper, you get into some of the slower, more R&B jams, like Going Somewhere, I Talk BB, things like that. Here's why I think the record should win the Polaris Prize, is because she's doing very, very unique things with styles of music and pieces of music we've heard before. She's taken all of these different elements and she's sort of synthesized it into this interesting minimalist record. And her voice, her artistic voice, is really, really strong. It's a whole bunch of different things put together, but it never sounds like anybody else but Jessie Lanza. And I feel like sometimes in Canada, we hear all this stuff coming at us from all around the world and just sort of fashion it together in our own way. And she's definitely doing that.
Montreal producer Kate Renata ruled dance floors this year with his dynamic new album 99.9%, which featured guest spots from the likes of Anderson .Paak, Craig David, Bad Bad Not Good, and River Tiber. Sarah Sussman, the Calgary-based associate editor-in-chief of Hip Hop Canada, tells us why 99.9% is so special.
For me, 99.9% by Kate Renata, that was probably the best album that came out, not just even within Canada, but worldwide this year. I thought it was so brilliant that Kate Renata, who is a producer, was able to create this body of work that was just so unified and so much a signature Kate Renata sound. I think it's very difficult for producers to be able to do that, and the way he crafted the project was just brilliant. The first song that really stood out to me was Light Spots. And that was really interesting because it's just an instrumental that uses a sample that Kate Renata reworked. And it's so cute because I think it's Portuguese. And the translation to the line in the sample is just different renditions of saying, like, I'm really happy right now. Like, I'm really happy. And he turned it into this, like, funky dance song. And as soon as the beat drops, you just want to dance. I think in Canada, a lot of people, when they think about the Canadian music industry, they're very focused on Toronto, what's going on in Toronto, especially in the urban music community. And Kate Renata is so special because he's from Montreal. And I don't think a lot of people think to look at Montreal, but Montreal right now has what I consider to be one of the best music scenes in terms especially of production and in terms of beats.
With the band's fourth album, Paradise, Vancouver, BC's White Lung have unleashed a punk rock fire that's getting recognition for not only its sound, but for also tackling topics like body dysmorphia, rape culture, and addiction. CBC Music's Andrea Warner explains why 2016 is the year of White Lung.
So, you know that, like, really raw, crazy feeling that happened when you first listened to, like, the very first whole record? This is that feeling. Like, it's raw, it's visceral. I've never been in a volcanic eruption, but I would assume that this is the soundtrack to a volcanic eruption. There's something about this album that asks us to really challenge our presumptions of what, you know, identity is and what a woman's role is and settling down. So, like, I know that a lot of this, you know, Mishway was writing this having just gotten married and maybe having never thought that she was going to get married, and asking these big questions about ourselves and the life that we thought we were going to lead, and is it a compromise to go in a different direction? You know, if you're rejecting sort of like what we consider to be sort of like these established hierarchies of marriage and family and et cetera, et cetera. And then that moment where you realize you can reinvent all of that. You can still fall in love and do it your own way. And she manages to distill all of that and still be incredibly critical about all of these institutions and still challenge these institutions throughout this whole record. And I mean, that's a really amazing thing to try and articulate both musically and lyrically, but I think White Lung does it with this question of like, what is paradise? I think the biggest criticism of this record is that, you know, it's too big. It's too loud. It's too much. Even though it's 2016 and we are well beyond the notion, or should be, that, like, you know, women don't get angry, there's still a lot of people who listen to this record and just like, oh, it's just loud. It's just aggressive for no reason. But frankly, like, when someone tells me that a woman or anybody is just like too much, I want to be in that. I want to know more about that. And I also, it tells me a lot about the listener if they're like, oh, this is too much. And I'm really like, you're too little. You're nothing. Like, this record is amazing.
Originally from Mission, BC, Carly Rae Jepsen has come a long way since finishing third on Canadian Idol in 2007. Now a world-renowned pop star, her third album, Emotion, has won her a dedicated legion of loyal fans. BlogTO listings editor and frequent YouTube dance star Phil Villeneuve really, really, really likes Carly Rae Jepsen's Emotion.
I don't know. To me, in a very general sense, and the way a lot of people have put it, last year on all the lists and everything that came out, was that it's really truly the perfect pop album from start to finish. And I think if we're gonna base an award on artistic merit, this truly is what this album was. She took years off and took years to then make this album and worked with like a ton of producers and songwriters and people that she personally loved. There was no pressure, like label pressure, to be like, don't make Call Me Maybe again. She definitely didn't want to, and they weren't really forcing her to, and they kind of let her do what she did, and then she created this album. So definitely the best of last year, hands down. There's a lot of people that I might have over to and right away do dismiss Carly Rae. And I would every single time introduce anyone to this album with the song All That, which was the Dev Hynes collaboration. Just like super slow, and there's kind of like these toxing moments, you know, where she goes from singing right into like talking into the mic. Just let me in your arms. Just let me in your arms. So cheesy, but like so good when people do that, and she totally pulls it off. So like ease in with that song is the perfect way into the album, I think. Which album do I go back to all the time? Do I put on? Do I recommend to people? Do I buy for someone? Do I play when I DJ? And for sure, it's always Carly Rae. It's always, always, always. She's the party. She's like after my heart. She's in my head. And there's unique stuff to hear the entire time and dance to and like be flirty with or dance with or get sad about. Or she really brings you on a ride with her.
Basha Bulat is one of Polaris' all-time most nominated acts, with albums that have made the shortlist in 2008 and 2014, and the longlist in 2010. She's made this year's shortlist for her deeply personal new record, Good Advice. I've been standing at the door outside, when you're gonna let me in. I've been waiting for a show tonight, when you gonna let me? Edmonton's Tom Coxworth is the longtime producer of Folk Roots on the CKUA radio network, and he feels Basha Bulat's Good Advice deserves to win it all this year.
For me, what Basha has put together here is one of the most exceptional, and I'm going to say Europop albums, because I don't think North American pop radio is going to play it as much as they should, but I believe it has that angle in the music. There's nothing that she doesn't cover in this, and you're rooting for her, and you're also saying in the storyline, you know, get your act together. You know, this has happened. You're not going to save yourself. So the more you immerse yourself in the songs, each of these songs that she does, you become more involved in the relationship. I'm still your fool. I'm still your fool. I'm still your fool. I'm still your fool. In singer-songwriter circles, The song itself can be an entire emotional ride, or an album that is complete and well thought out from track 1 to track 10 can also have that complete emotional ride. So you're hearing the story, you're involved in it, you're engaged in it, and you become part of it. And one of the most important parts about Basha's album is that not only do you become part of it, you own part of the art, part of the song that she has put together here. I can relate to it on a number of levels personally through my life, but I also see where other people can relate to it as well and own much of the recording. When I say that I don't need help, and I promise I will be fine. Oh, la 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 to myself. I think it's a very great album for relationships today and what people struggle with. And so I think it's a very modern classic breakup album.
Now, it's not just these 10 albums that were considered as contenders for the Polaris Prize. Only a few weeks ago, Polaris released their longer list, which revealed how jurors from across the country, including these ones you're hearing, scrutinized over 232 albums in all genres of music, including punk. Which brings us to Toronto's Pup with The Dream Is Over. CBC's Mitch Pollack explains why it's his pick and why the record almost didn't happen.
Shortly after the album was finished, Stephen Babcock, the lead singer, was told by a doctor that if he sang again, the dream would be over, that the band would have to quit. He had vocal issues. And basically the band was told, that's it, kids. You've had a good time. You've been playing the punk rock for too long, so you are done. Even though that came after the recording of the record, what I love about that is it sort of expresses F you, we're going to do what we want. And that's kind of what this record sounds like to me. It sounds like an album that is saying, you know, fuck the world. Like, this is punk rock. And for me, punk rock is a genre of music in Canada and in the world right now that isn't the coolest genre. It has seen its time come and go. And in many ways, I feel like this album is saying, hey, we're still here. Punk and pop punk, it's not a bad word. It's 30 minutes. You can go for a short jog and just really enjoy it. I don't know. I find, honestly, the length of it, and because there's no wasted time. There's no intro. There's no, like, halfway mark, just sort of meandering noise. Not a second is wasted, and I think that explains a lot about who this band is, too. Like, they very well might not make another record. It's living on the edge, and not just because of Stefan's vocals. I mean, punk rock is about living fast, dying young. And it nails that, and it nails that in such a short amount of time. So as a whole record, it's easily digestible, and it feels like it's very immediate. For a second, let's be honest. Everything you do makes me
I'm on.
Well, artistic merit, I mean, these are just dudes who plugged in their instruments and turned on a microphone and go. There is nothing else here. Like, they nail it. They actually can match what they do on their live show on this record. And a lot of bands that play this kind of music can't. Like, you can't match that energy in a studio. You can't match that immediacy. That's what makes that record so exciting. And as well as, like, the Black Mountain record and the White Lung record as well. I think it's a great thing for players that all three of those records are represented this year.
Black Mountain's epic riffage has earned the Vancouver band two separate Polaris nominations in the past, once in 2008 and again in 2011. The retro-spirited rockers' new album, 4, continues this streak of success. Christine Fortier, a contributing writer to Montreal's Voir and a host at CISM 89.3 FM, explains why you shouldn't fear their stoner rock.
This album should win because it shows a band that is mature, and they don't always offer the same album, but at the same time they don't change, you know, completely from album to album. So you know what you're going to find on their albums, but you also have those small surprises that make it an album of its time. And on the new album, what I like is, you know, it's a varied album, but not too dispersed. You know, it's rich in influences, and you have some funk. You're introspective. Guitars with Constellation. The song that I recommend to listen to is Mothers of the Sun First. And then you go to You Can Dream, and it shows two sides of the band that are very, very interesting. Come on, baby, dream.
Yeah, I just feel like some people may be surprised that, like, a stoner rock band would make the list, and need some kind of justification when, you know, it could just be that they're an excellent stoner rock.
Stoner rock. I think that it's, you know, people are maybe afraid of that, you know, of those two terms, but it's very, very accessible, as an album to listen to. And they shouldn't be afraid of that stoner thing. it doesn't bite.
Electronic producer Grimes says Kill Thee Mame, the breakout song from her Art Angels album, imagines Al Pacino's character in The Godfather 2 as a gender-switching, time-traveling vampire. Tiana Fang, the owner and editor of RideTheTempo.com, is going to tell you why that's so inspiring.
I think in Art Angels, Grimes showed that she's the only artist who can challenge the boundaries of pop music and remain her own kind of weird. I think that Grimes is inspiring a whole new generation of girls to be producers and take charge. And all those sounds, all the instruments you hear on the record, whether it's the ukulele, guitar, or violin, she taught herself how to play. And in a world where there's, like, million-dollar pop machines, this she created most of it herself, and that's very inspiring. I actually went to an Ableton 101 course for girls because of this record. I think the biggest criticism is that it's a pop record and people sometimes are scared of pop music or recognizing that it is art in awards like this. But at the same time, what pop record is produced by like one person?
One of the added bonuses of U.S. Girls principal member Megan Remy moving to Toronto and marrying a Canadian was that her work now qualifies for Polaris consideration, which is why the album Half Free is on this year's list. We head now to Montreal, where Marie-Ève Fortin, a freelance writer, discusses the virtues of being half free.
I think it deserves to win because of its originality, but also its overall unicity. I mean, the album is an oblique retro-pop that explores daily struggles of characters that deal with abuse, inequity, and despair. But there's a real sense of an achieved project when we listen to the album from end to end. And that's what I admire the most about the album. I'm thinking about the song Red Comes in Many Shades. That's another of my favorite pieces on the album. So it's revisiting the old Western spaghetti aesthetics a la Morricone with a vibrant twist of repetitive keyboards. And so, you know, it's kind of a semi-distorted head nod in Morricone's direction. And of course, there's the perfectly dark voice of Remy singing.
Regina, Saskatchewan's Andy Schaaf made all our social anxieties into music with his album, The Party. It focuses on the many different stories and characters that come out of a good house party. Moncton, New Brunswick's Ken Kelly of MusicNerd.ca tells us why this is a party you'll want to be at.
I think what really drew me to this record was the simplicity behind all of the song arrangements. I find in a lot of music these days, not all music, but I think a lot of artists are concentrating on adding just a silly amount of layers to their music. But when you hear The Party, it is like that's what really endeared me to the record almost immediately, was just the simplistic nature of, you know, the arrangements and the lyrics and just the whole package that really captures the essence of the whole small town party and the drama and vibes that seem to go hand in hand with that.
Early to the party, you're the first one there. Overdressed and underprepared. Standing in the kitchen, stressing out the whole.
I think a lot of people on the surface may dismiss The Party as being unsubstantial or something, you know, that doesn't necessarily have the complexities, the musical complexities that some of the other shortlist nominees have. But in my opinion, that's what makes the record so perfect, is the fact that Andy has kept, you know, the song arrangements, the lyrics, and everything simple. I think there's a lot to be said for that.
She says, you know, I've never really met someone like you. You know, I've never really met someone like you.
I think The Party should win the Polaris Music Prize just because of the simplicity and the combination of Andy's lyrics, the song arrangements, and kind of the narrative running through the album that that helps the record stand out from amongst its peers.
That's it, a taste of all 10 shortlisted Polaris records. One of these albums will win the $50,000 prize awarded at the gala September 19th in Toronto. Don't forget, the Polaris 2016 gala streams live September 19th at cbcmusic.ca/Polaris Prize. And the video will be posted online after the show as well. You can get more details at polarismusicprize.ca. Thanks for listening to our first ever podcast. More to come. We'll be putting this out monthly, and on our next podcast, you might get a little nostalgic because we'll be looking at the albums that shaped Canadian music. Everything from 60s folk to 90s hip-hop to the indie rock that shaped the early 2000s. So subscribe to this podcast and you won't miss it. We have a lot of people to thank. First off, we acknowledge the financial support of Factor, the Government of Canada, and Canada's private radio broadcasters. Thanks to Steve Jordan, Claire Dagenet, and Megan Borthwick from Polaris, Tim Jones, Indie 88, Blue Ant Media, and Kelly & Kelly Creative. This podcast was produced by Aaron Brophy and edited by Dave Cockrum. I'm Lana Gay. We leave you now with the title track off last year's Polaris Prize-winning album, Power in the Blood, by Buffy St. Marie. Thanks for letting us in your head and for supporting Canadian music.
Power. Power in the blood. Power. Power in the blood.